Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
The Lord. Hallelujah. We are grateful to God for what He's doing. We are humbled. And all we can say is that we pledge our allegiance to continue in faithfulness, in truth, in integrity, with a heart of humility as He continues to lift up this banner and influence the world, colonize the world, and establish His kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to share with us on a very important subject. Pastor Victor began doing justice to this subject sometime last month, and the Holy Ghost pressed on my heart to touch a bit of it again. And so I just want to bring in a few more layers to the subject. It's the subject of prayers. For the Sundays in May, we are going to be considering dominion. And we will try to route dominion through different channels. Last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, if I am correct, we did dominion by finance, or financial dominion. And I showed us what we need to do in order to exercise dominion in the area of finance. And on the strength of our dominion in the area of finance, we begin to affect our world positively and establish the kingdom of God. If you are not making impact on earth, then your coming was in vain. Because God was not just intending to populate the earth with the human race. Everybody walking on the face of the earth is fulfilling a scroll. Something was written concerning you. That is what necessitated your creation and your birth. And so if you fail to fulfill what was written concerning you, it means your coming was in vain. Miles Monroe went to minister somewhere of blessed memory. And during his spare time, the Holy Ghost led him to a grave, a graveyard. And while he stood there, God began to interact with him. And God was speaking into his heart, and he asked him a question. He said, where is the richest spot on the face of the earth? And of course, as a man who is widely traveled, widely studied, widely read, he understood a few things. And I said a few things because he was talking to God. No matter what you know, your knowledge is just a pinch before God. And he was referencing regions where you have gold mines, regions where you have uranium mines, you know, regions that were blessed with natural resources. And God told him, he said, no, you are wrong. He said, the richest place on the earth is where you are standing. It's the graveyard. Because in the graveyard are books that were never written, songs that were never sung. Graces never manifested. The investment of God is not only in nature. The major investment of God is in men. And so when men are not fully explored, then that is a waste on investment. This is why it's important that as we walk on the face of the earth, two things we must do. Number one is to get to know God experientially. Because knowing God is what brings definition to our existence. It's not the job you do that defines you. Banking, law, medicine, they are beautiful, but they are platforms for expressing purpose. These are not the things that define you. It is your relationship, your knowledge of God, defining the essence for your being, is what gives you value. And so when you have built a relationship, experiential relationship with God, then the second thing you will do naturally is to begin to give expression to the things that flow from the realm of God. So in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the Bible said, they that do know their God, he said, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. So the first thing is what? To know your God. And the second thing is to what? To do exploit. This is why dominion becomes very important. Making impact becomes very important. It has nothing to do with ambition. You were created to live that way. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. So the reason man was created is to dominate the natural sphere and to superimpose the dimensions of God and the dimensions of the heavens in the natural sphere. If man is not doing that, then his existence is useless. However, as beautiful as this is, dominion is not attained by wishing. Wishful desires, wishful thinking does not confer dominion. For you to walk in dominion, there are definite things you must engage. There are definite things you must know. There are definite things you must do to be able to exercise dominion. There are many people that wish today that they should have been impacting their world. There are many people that desire to impact their worlds. There are many people that wish they would have added value to the lives of people if it were possible. But unfortunately, their wishes have never translated to manifestation. And some try so hard, because it's not working, they just relax. No, that's the wrong thing to do. You can't relax. I told my friend some time ago, I said, this world will not end until we have made our own impact and left our mark. On another occasion, I told my friend, I said, this world will not end until we have made money. Money in hundreds of millions. Until anything God wants, without thinking, we make it happen. I said, this world will not end until we have touched the power of God, the raw power, both mental power and supernatural power, to a point where when we show up, the territory itself, we know that men have come. I read the story of D.L. Moody. He was traveling in a train, and the train passed through a city, and so they stopped so people could buy stuff, you know, refresh themselves, and then they would also refuel and do all of the administration that was required. So while the train stopped, people went out to get things and do a lot of things quickly to come back to the train. And suddenly, the anointing fell. And people began to fall down. People began to receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. People began to speak in tongues. And somebody said, what is going on here? And another person said, well, I know these kinds of things only happen when D.L. Moody is around. It became a trademark that the man walks through a city, angels appear. He's not praying, he's not fasting, he's not making declaration. He carries so much of God. And remember, it's not just about people falling down. People are falling down because they are coming under an influence, the influence of the Holy Spirit. That is how that territory is also coming under that influence. That's how the systems are coming under that influence. So somebody like D.L. Moody
All he needs to do is to tour around the world. If he's touring around the world, it's not a tourist, it's reconstructing the systems. And true to what the person said, when the train began to move, they looked around, and there was D.L. Moody studying the Bible. I read the story of another man. His name, I forgot it. He was traveling in a train with some guys, and they confronted him, approached him, and said, "Please, we are playing this game of dice, and we need the fourth man to complete it. Can you please join us? We know you don't understand it, but we'll just tell you what to do. We need to play this game." And the man says, "Sorry, I didn't come with my hands." And when they asked him, "Is this not your hands we are seeing?" He said, "No, these ones belong to Jesus. These ones are no longer mine. They belong to Jesus. I use it to heal the sick. Because when I touch people, it's life I'm transmitting. These ones are now tools. They are divine tools. They are no longer mine." And while he was yet speaking, the anointing slayed them. They spoke in tongues, and that was where their conversion began. I read of the Moravian brothers. They were so sold out to God that a point came when they finished colonizing their territories. The reason is because they entered a cave and they prayed for 100 years. When they were done praying every day for 100 years, when they finished, that atmosphere became a portal. As you are walking in, you are colliding with things. Heaven and earth became one. If there is anything that looks like Eden on earth today, it's the Moravian caves. You could collide with an angel just walking there. And when they finished dominating that realm so much, it became impossible to sleep there. Because if you are sleeping, you may wake up in heaven. You may wake up on earth. It became difficult to even tell between day and night. When they discovered that they were no longer living among men, they now decided to export themselves to the nations. So what they do is, when they want to enter a city, usually they sell themselves as slaves. Because they have seen heaven. Earth is noisy. They are just trying to change earth. That's their ambition in life now. And so they sold themselves as slaves. When they enter a country, things just begin to happen. One of the greatest revivalists we know of, Charles Finney, he was traveling in a ship and he met a Moravian. That was his undoing. A very smart man with a lot of visions, he collided with a Moravian while they were traveling. When he came down and returned to America, he returned as another man. Because the weight of God they carry was so much. Everywhere they went to, they changed things. The reason is because they had tapped into a technology in the spirit that makes for impact. They were no longer wishing to make impact in their world. The things they gave themselves to made it impossible for them not to make impact. So consciously or unconsciously, they are making impact. A man like D.L. Moody doesn't need to ask God, "Give me this city." If he shows up, things will begin to change. Because of what he carried. Now, they carried so much because they tapped into the frequency of heaven. And they discovered what men ought to do in order to make impact in the natural world. Most of the people that are problem to society are problems to society not because they are bad in themselves. They are problem to society because they didn't pay the price to connect to the things that make for impact. So after a long time in their lives, they come to a point where they become a liability. And when they become liabilities, they will do anything it takes to survive. But somebody who is coming for this series, something will happen to you that wherever it is that you lost it, and whatever it is you needed to do that you didn't have the ability to do, the capacity to do those things will rest upon you. And as you walk out, you will walk out as another man. Samuel carried so much of this that Saul was looking for his father's beaten asses in 1 Samuel chapter 9. And he ran into him. And he said, "We are looking for the seer. Our asses are missing. So we are looking for the seer that he may tell us where the asses are." The guy looked at him. The first answer he gave humbled me. He said, "I am the seer. I'm not praying for God, show me a vision. I am the seer. I see. I see. That's who I am. Where I operate from, even if you close your eyes, you will see. I am the seer." He said, "Notwithstanding, as you leave me now, if you had not come into my circumference, it would have been fine. But because you have come here now, your destiny will change. He said, as you leave me now, he began to tell him the things that will happen. Number one, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be changed into another man. He didn't consult with anybody. Who is talking like this? Who are you? Number two, he said, you will meet two men. Some of they will carry two loaves of bread, three loaves of bread, and a bottle of wine. He said, they will salute you. Did you talk to those men? The reason is because the energy level where this man is operating from, if he talks, he can manipulate you. He can speak now that as you go out, the first taxi you see will carry you for free. The taxi, we have no choice. If he is the one that meets you, something will compel him to carry you for free. Did you not read about Jesus? He said, go into the river, cast your hook. The first fish you catch, open his mouth, you will find a coin. How do you know the first fish? Because if it was not so, when they speak, it becomes so. That's the level certain men are walking in. Even if it was not so, when they speak, it becomes so. He said, they will salute you. They will give you two loaves of bread. Receive it. He said, when you get to the sepulchre where Rachel was buried, you will meet the company of prophets. He said, dear, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You will be changed into another man. Meanwhile, the asses you are looking for, go and relax. They have been found. So even donkeys hear him. Do you know why people want to contest for election? They go and pack their jeep and enter a forest. They will trek for 2 days. This is a king. This is a man that sleeps on waterbed. This is a man that can't do without AC for 1 hour. If he enters the car, there's air condition. Enters his office, there's air condition. Enters his house, there's air condition. But now he needs something. So he needs a man that can create change. So he will be willing to pack his jeep and trek. When he treks for 2 days, he will now cross another water body. When he crosses that water body, he will trek again and he will go and wait till midnight when the oracle shows up. And the person will show up, tell him what he needs to do, and tell him, go back, you'll be the next governor. Now, how dare you tell him you'll be the next governor? Do you know about voting? Do you know about PVC? Do you know if there are other popular candidates? Why would you sit in the forest and you say, go, you'll be the next governor? Because there are things when you do, if you are done doing them, when you speak, men and nature will bow to you. When you get to that level, then you have what we call dominion. And the people God wants to raise, they are not talkers. The people God wants to raise, they are not preachers. The people God wants to raise, they are not a religious family that gather together to do certain religious activities. He said, when he made man, he said he made him to have dominion. He said, go into all the world and disciple all nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them all that you have learned from me. That means God came to raise men who can dominate the world. And if we don't live as such, then we have become a reproach to Christianity. We have become a ridicule to our faith. And it will be because of us that men will look down on our faith. It will be because of us that men will reproach our God. But a generation is coming that will defend the heritage of the kingdom and the integrity of the faith and the sovereignty of God, because they would have understood what it takes to move the hand of God. They know what it takes to awaken the hand of God and to create changes in territory. They know what it takes to create the needed change for civilization to transit in the positive direction. The first way to do it is to dominate by prayer. This is why prayer is very important. Prayer is not a religious thing. Prayer is a highly legalistic spiritual reality. When we pray because there is a very definite, very deliberate, and very purposeful result that we want to achieve. So in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 8, the Bible said, as soon as Zion traveled, it said she brought forth her children And so every time Zion travails, there's a purpose that is in view. We don't pray because we enjoy it. We don't pray because our religion demands that we pray. We pray because prayer is a spiritual strategy for producing divine results. It will be impossible for the supernatural to dominate the natural except as men pray. So when men are praying, it's because they want to bring the supernatural into the natural context. When men are praying, it's because they want to begin to generate divine result over and above human results. This is the first consciousness that you need to have before you engage the prayer altar. Because if you don't know this, you may give yourself to prayer because you belong to a particular religion. The Muslims pray. The Christians pray. The Hindus pray. So prayer in itself is not why we pray. The reason we pray is because it is by prayer that divine purposes are born. And so the goal of prayer is not primarily how you pray. The goal of prayer is not primarily the posture you assume when you pray. The goal of prayer is not primarily how you sound when you pray. There are many people who think prayer is about sounding complex. So if you tell them to bless food, you will need two dictionaries to understand what they are saying about blessing food. Because to them, prayer is about lingo. There are certain people that when you say, okay, let's just give God thanks, the next thing they will go and hug a pillar. And they will hold a pillar and they will act a lot of drama. When they finish, they were in the flesh. Because all they want you to know is the impression they want to create in your mind. And by the time they are done doing it, they succeeded. Because you will call them prayer warrior. But at the end of the day, in the realm of God, they are not moved the posture you assume when you were praying. They are not moved how high sounding your prayer is. Because they know in that realm that when you begin to pray, it's a colonization system. You are trying to download something from heaven to earth that was not there before. So when you finish acting the drama and heaven doesn't invade earth, they are wondering, what did you do? Jesus spoke about the Pharisees. He said they love to pray for long. And he said when they pray, they stand by street corners so that men will have praise of them. He said they already have their reward. The reason is because the purpose was not well defined. I'm taking time to establish this foundation because there are many prayer warriors that are dying. There are many prayer warriors that are failures. There are many prayer warriors that have destroyed themselves by praying. Not because prayer in itself is not effective, but because they didn't know the purpose. So what I want to share with us tonight on the subject of dominion by prayer are four things that prayer produces. So that when you start praying, you will look out for those things. You know, when Elijah was praying, it's beautiful to pray for long. And if I begin to teach you the dynamics of prayer, I will talk about long prayers and consistent prayers. But when we are doing dominion, we have focus on definite things. When Elijah was praying, the Bible says 7 times he buried his head between his thighs. And when he prays, he will look up. He will say, go and check. I'm not here to do acrobatics. So don't come and later say, the way to pray is to put your head between your thighs. The goal is not that. What I'm looking for is in the skies. And then don't come and say, for you to have result, you will pray 7 times. So he will tarry. When he prays, he says, go and check. The guy checks and come back and say, there's nothing. At the 7th time, when he saw something that looked like a man's fist, he said, I saw a cloud like a man's fist. He said, that is it. Let's go. So the prayer of dominion is a prayer that changes things. The focus of that prayer are the offsprings of Zion, not the activity in itself. So don't be carried away by the activity. While you are praying like Elijah, your focus should be on what your prayer is generating, not the prayer itself. If you turn your focus to what your prayer is generating, you become a religious man. And at best, men will heap applause on you and call you names. But at the end of the day, when you have lived for long, you will discover that, Kai, your life didn't make impact. If you are not even careful, you will spiral into carnality in the place of prayer. So, prayer that provokes dominion is a prayer that bets offsprings. And some of the offsprings of this prayer are the things I want to outline to us. The first thing that the prayer that engenders dominion produces is access to the voice of God. When a man who dominates by prayer is praying, one of the things that he catches from the realm is the voice of Yahweh. The reason is because dominion hinges on the voice of God. The walls were created by the word of God. So when that man is praying, he's seeking the proceeding word of God. He wants to pick what the Father is saying. So he can be there for 3 days. His goal is not to come back and make a doctrine of 3 days non-stop prayer. His goal is to wait until God speaks. So while he's praying, if God has not spoken, he may be there for 14 days. Because the prayer will not stop until God speaks. Now, the reason we teach people to tarry for long in prayer is not to brag about it. It's so that they can develop stamina in order not to stop before God speaks. Because if they stop before God speaks, they wasted their time. If you don't have stamina and you are praying with Elijah, after the third time, you may go. I'm saying this now because there are those who will hear and say, we said it. All this long prayer, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, we know it's flesh. That's not what we are saying. That training is necessary because there are many times you want to create change that it will take 72 hours for God to speak. So if you have not trained yourself on 14 hours prayers non-stop, you will not be able to wait until the voice of God comes. And what will create the change is not the prayer. What will create the change is the feedback that comes from heaven. And so prayer is the way of creating that gangway for that voice to come. Because the voice of God is upon many waters. The voice of God is full of majesty. The Bible said the voice of God thundered. He divided the flames of fire. He said he discovered the forest. He causes the hind to calve. Even creation itself is sustained by the voice of God. And so when a man wants to create dominion, without every contradiction, he will lock himself away and pray until God speaks. This is what Elijah knew. He knew that the darkness on the territory, only a change that is supernatural can judge the heart of the king. So he showed up and said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew except at my word. After he finished saying it, he knew that if God doesn't veto it, there is problem. So Elijah would have been on that mountain for 1 week. Hope you know, Moses was waiting for the voice of God and he waited for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't go there with the intention of beating 40 days and 40 nights. He went there to wait on the voice of God. And until God speaks, nothing changes. Because the way to engender dominion is when God begins to talk. If God is not speaking into your life, you'll be in trouble. No matter where you worship. Have you not seen people mysteriously die from the most powerful places? Because there is so much God can do for you because of where you are. But the greatest insurance for your life is the speakings of God into your life. Because when God speaks to you, his jealousy defends it. He told Simeon, you will not see death until you see the salvation of Israel. Even when Simeon was old, he couldn't die because God has spoken. The voice of God will preserve. The voice of God will defend. And the voice of God will keep that which he has said. There are many forces today that program men. Because when a spirit speaks, he's not just speaking to create change. When a spirit speaks, he's programming your life. Have you seen people before? They get married. Their husband is gentle and calm. Because their husband is gentle and calm, they oppress him until they are separated. It's after the marriage is destroyed that they come back to their senses. And then you ask them, they say, I don't know why. Have you seen people before? They marry very good women. And they trouble them until the marriage is destroyed. After the woman leaves, Then they now wake up and say, why did I do what I did? They were programmed. Have you seen people before? Every decision they make takes them away from their blessing. They were in the business for 5 years. In the sixth year that God wanted to visit, they quit. And the moment they quit, they now hear that the business have blown. And then they are wondering why. The reason is because demons speak into men's life and speak into circumstances to program men into destruction. So when you begin to pray to hear the voice of God, you are actually reprogramming your life for victory and for success. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 12, he said, when you are in the wrong way, he said, you will hear a voice. That's what prayer does for you. The voice will tell you, turn back. That is not the way to go. You may have journeyed on that path for 5 years. It doesn't matter. What makes you succeed is not how long, it's how right. I've told you before that if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Isaiah 30, 21. He said, turn. That's not the way to go. When you see men that things keep working for them, it's because there is an accuracy they have attained in the place of prayer. They will not move until God speaks. So sometimes the thing is not working. That's what they are doing. And then you are wondering, are you okay? No, they are not okay. They are hearing something from another realm. But the man who depends only on his mind does not know that there is already a verdict that is not given to man that walketh to order his step. There are too many wise creatures in this realm to manipulate things. And so in order for your life not to be programmed wrongly, you need to stay on the prayer altar. If you will stay on the prayer altar until you apprehend the voice of God, you become invincible. Jesus said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. They are men with noble intentions, but they keep making mistakes upon mistakes. Your life will end up in struggle if the mistakes you make are too many. But the way to minimize error and to reprogram your life for greatness is to ensure that your altar is generating the voice of God. If the voice of God is scarce, then a people will be sent into captivity. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, they had programmed everything to destroy John. They manipulated men against him. Systems turned against him. There was nowhere to hide anymore. He literally became a victim until they arrested him. They tried to kill him according to church history. They dragged him on the street. He wouldn't die. They put him in boiling oil. He wouldn't die. When they saw that he wouldn't die, they now cast him to an isle called Patmos. But the guy knows that he's not succeeding because of where he is. He's succeeding because he's invincible. And what makes him invincible is because the voice of God is with him. And suddenly, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice as of a trumpet. And when I turned, he said, I saw 7 golden lampstands. The Isle of Patmos, which is supposed to be the Isle of Death, became the mountain of God. What reprogrammed his experience is because he was in the spirit. There are many people today, men may gang up against you. They will push you to a place where they think you want to die. Did you read about Jeremiah? They threw Jeremiah into a pit, a sock away. That would have been a place of suffocation. But while Jeremiah was there, he had understood the technology. From that pit, he was prophesying the destiny of Israel. That means such men become so invincible that you can't destroy them. Anywhere they are, they have a superior knowledge to record every negative coding that the devil has done. There are people today, they just wake up. They go out, and the moment they are stepping on the road, they are knocked down. You think it's coincidence? Their steps were manipulated. Because when demons want to destroy you sometimes, they program you into self-destruction. And the guy wants to travel. He delays himself on Monday, delays himself on Tuesday, and stood up on Wednesday to travel. And that Wednesday, he woke up, he kept dragging his feet until he left for the park around 11. The car he entered is already destined for accident. He didn't know why a journey that should have been on Sunday was delayed to Wednesday. And the journey was delayed to Wednesday. Of all the cars, is the one that should somersault that he entered. It's because of demonic programming. But when men begin to pray, there is a voice that travels with them.
even if the program is complete, while they are yet there,
they say, no, not this one.
A lady went to the airport, paid for her flight. The flight was about to take off. In fact, they hurried her because they were about shutting the door. After she pleaded, begged, they did all the necessary connection to get her on the flight. The moment she checked in her luggage, she lost her peace. Give me my bag. They said, no, they've checked it in. I need my bag. I'm not going. They said they checked it in. He said, no problem. And she walked out. The plane crashed. The question is, what about the 80 to 90 Christians that are on that flight? Is it that God specially loved this one? No. There is a heritage that is for every believer. It is the one that ascended in the spirit that picked it. If all of them picked it, all of them would have left the flight. It is one that picked it. As much as God would have loved to save everybody, the spiritual technology made for their salvation is the voice of God. And only the man who will pitch the tent of prayer will access it. But unfortunately, many died because they didn't hear God's voice. Have you not heard people that struggled and fought for what they called an opportunity, not knowing that that is the grave with the mouth open? How come they didn't hear? They said there will be a voice behind you. That voice will tell you, no, turn back. I've seen men before that invested in business so much that you will say, this is the one that will create breakthrough. When they are about to move, they lose their peace. And they say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And God said, not this one. Not this one. They quickly withdrew. And true to the voice of God, it crashed. The reason Christians are victims and they are not dominating their world is because 90% of their decision-making process is coming from their brain. They are making decisions about tomorrow with the information of today and yesterday. Who told you today and yesterday is sufficient to arrest tomorrow? The only thing that knows tomorrow, the only one that knows tomorrow, is the monarch of Zion. Because his name is Alpha Omega. He's sitting in yesterday, today, and tomorrow at the same time. So when he's speaking, he's not speaking in the now. He's also speaking in the tomorrow. When we pray and we hear God's voice, we secure the future because we reprogram ourselves. Many people want to get married. They go and check. The lady is working in the oil company. If we get married, at least you'll bring something on the table. One of the ladies that they advised me to marry, she died last year. It pains me so much that she was cut short. It pains me. I'm not saying this as a testimony, because you can't be testifying when somebody else is hurt. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, what if I married that person? By August, I would have married in May. By August, I would have been a widow. Or a widower. They call it widower. Meanwhile, God is planning for me to start encounter Jesus in November. If I became a widow in August, how would I have heard about this? In 3 months, see where we are. All of these possibilities would have sunk. Just because I didn't hear God. Meanwhile, the one I wanted to marry, or the one I'm married to now. Hear God, though. A lady told me in Brazil, she will relocate to Nigeria. They say she loved missions. She loved missions. And when I check, she's a Brazilian. If I give birth, my son will be Nigerian and Brazilian. This thing happening in Nigeria now, that we are still prophesying and praying. If I marry a Brazilian, at least, if things happen while we are trusting God, there will be some way of safety. They say, oh, Brazilians, they love Nigerians. This is an inter... She loved mission. Everything was arranged. They showed me pictures. She was like a goddess. I went home. I did like this. You don't know what we are saying. What I'm talking about here is not, it's not religion. I'm telling you how men succeed in life. The other one told me she's a partner. Before you know, my phone will shake like this. A lot has entered. Ah! I said, these are the kind of women that support ministry. No. You don't joke with me. Meanwhile, this my wife never gave a seed. One day I stood up, I said, hope I'm not about to make a mistake. Are you sure this lady believe in this calling? I
I say, are you sure this lady believe in this calling? Let me not come and marry somebody that tomorrow, even if I'm going for meetings, problem. Are you sure she believes in this calling? And I went and sat down, and the demon whispered to my ear. Say, don't worry. She thinks she's a big woman. She thinks she's a big woman. Just ignore her. She's not serious. So when I looked at her, and I said, okay, these are the feminists. They think they are important. Because, I mean, she has a master's degree. She is working as a head of sustainability in one of the leading companies in Nigeria. She has done senior managerial courses in Harvard, in Lagos Business School. So it's natural for you to look at her and say, this person is proud. And I looked at her and I saw, I said, God, there's pride here. There's pride. I began to interpret things by wisdom. I said, God, this lady is not submissive. Before I knew what was happening, five people came and said, hey, is it this person? Run for your life. Thank God I hear God. The last 1 year of my life is the best I've ever lived. I've not recorded, hear this, I've not recorded as much success as I've recorded in the last 1 year. Meanwhile, I have rest. See, when I'm, oh Jesus, hear God. Oh. If you know what they call peace, I sleep and I roll from one side of the bed to another. Because what you need to explain to some people, you don't need to explain to her. She's mature enough to know, even before you say. I'm not trying, this is not social media hype. I'm not trying to hype her. I've never had a reason to come and explain, say, this is like this, this. She knows. And the things that should be a problem, before I think it, she works it out. And she doesn't even want me to say thank you. What if I heard men and very important people stood against this? Very important people say, don't try it. You know, do you know Edo ladies? I thought you were exposed. Have you not heard about people from Edo? They brought all kinds of argument. But when I go to the place of prayer, sometimes I make up my mind that this thing is over. As I go there, the oracle will appear. Hinamakatoa. They say, you are about to sell off your destiny. I have seen you. I have weighed your future. This is the person that can bear the weight of your calling. And from the week we got married, we went to Meduguri. I was thinking, okay, I will persuade her. She is more interested. When I travel, sometimes I forget to call. Because I come back, I'm so tired. She will send me a message and say, the Lord refresh you and strengthen you. I'm praying for you. Oh! I will not feel guilty. Imagine the stress we go through. I will now come home and say, I'm sorry, I have another meeting next week. Should I go? And then I'm ready to go for a meeting. She'll stand up and say, you won't go. And then I'll call my host and say, I'm sorry, my wife said I shouldn't go. She stands up and says, he sold out. He belongs to Jesus. Go. Everything people suspected was a lie. They misinterpreted her. What if I didn't hear God? By now, you'd have heard that a pastor slapped his wife. And then they'll put my picture on social media when I'm doing like this. They'll now say, we said it, this anger, there is anger here. Prayer is what makes men invincible. He said, as the wind bloweth, he said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. There are many people that are suffering from demonic programming. The Bible said the Holy Ghost led Jesus to the mountain to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4 verse 1. The reason is because the Holy Ghost knew the devil was waiting for temptation. That means the destiny and the ministry of Jesus was at stake. And when Jesus went there, he knew how to surpass the program of the demons. The season that was called a season of temptation before the devil showed up for 40 days and for 40 nights. The Bible didn't record anything supernatural that happened. But when the devil came, the voice of God was with him. He said, if you are the son of God, turn this stone to bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he finished that season of temptation and he descended from the mountain,
It was supposed to be the time of temptation. But the Bible said the land of Zebulun. The land of Naphtali. He said, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He said, they that sat in the region of the shackles of death, a great light is shone forth. And he didn't stop there. He said, he returned in the power of the Spirit, and his fame went abroad. So the season where he should have been tempted became a season of fame and influence. What changed the program? It was prayer. Your life will continue to go in a haphazard way until you stabilize it through prayer. When we begin to pray, we are insisting that our destiny will become like the path of the just that goes upward and forward only, because that is the program that God has for you. You are not supposed to be up today, down tomorrow. No, that was not God's programming. God's programming is upward and forward only. But what we do to ensure that that program play out in your life is to sustain it by prayer. You read about Abraham. The moment he came to Bethel, Genesis 12 verse 6, he built an altar. He knows that if I don't build this altar, I will return to Haran. What will keep this program running is prayer. Who told you that life is luck and chance? Men insist to define the pathway of their destiny through prayer. When you see things working for people, there is a deity and an altar that they are servicing. If you don't, different programs will begin to interject the divine program of your life. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. So when evil begins to happen to you, know that another program is trying to subjugate the program of God. And what we do to keep only the program of God running is to build your priesthood by prayer. That's why it's not every prayer that is littered with prayer points. Some prayers we are praying just to keep our feet on the path of God. There are certain prayers we are praying just to insist that the program of God runs. And the way that happens is that prayer gives us access to the voice of God. The elders of old knew this. That's why they say we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Nobody survives on earth with human wisdom. Spirits are involved. Hey, hey, ha. Let me read you a shocking story from the scripture. Matthew 22 from verse 25. I've never seen something that struck me like this in my life. Seven brothers. The first one married a lady. He died. The second one married the same lady and died. The third one married the same lady and died. Won't you wait and say, what is going on here? When people don't have the voice of God, they will be making the same mistake. You will be wondering, why can't they see it? They are locked by a program. There was a program to destroy that family. Seven sons. The fourth one married the same lady, died. The fifth one married, died. The sixth one married, died. The seventh one died. And when the seventh one died, that was when the lady died. A whole family wrecked by one program. One. But nobody could hear the voice that says restore. Nobody could hear the voice that says, this is not the way to go. You see things happening to people. You say, guy, these people are not wise. If a demon writes a program, it will sweep you off your feet. You will do the same thing for 10 years. Until God speaks, you will wonder, how come you never took notice? The reason we pray is because there are dark wisdoms that blind men. And when men are blinded, they are ostracized from the commonwealth of Israel. But when you begin to pray, suddenly you begin to connect to other frequencies. You do a business, and as you're about to wire the money, you lose your peace. You say, wait, wait, what's happening? Wait, you check. And then it tells you it's not this one. And suddenly, you begin to walk circumspectly
making progress continuously. And people are wondering, this man is wise. Nobody is actually wise. People actually hear spirits. When you say somebody is wise, he has access to the voice of a spirit. Because only spirits know tomorrow. And the Spirit of God is the governor of the realm. When you find yourself struggling with prayer, know that you are about to enter trouble. Because there are many spirits who have studied your grandfathers. They know what your grandfather fell to. Did you read about Abraham? He said Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. They know what runs in your bloodline. They know your bloodline. People are angry. So when they want to destroy you, they stir anger. And you stand up. You say, no, I'm a warrior. How can you do this? You destroy the things you have built for 5 years. When you finish destroying it, you now come and sit down. You use another 3 years to build again. When you finish building, they come and stir anger. And you stand up. You say, I'm the man here. And you destroy everything. When you finish showing your manhood through foolishness, you will come back and start again. It's a program. But when you start praying, when the devil activates that program, then the Holy Ghost comes from within. And say, this is not the way to go. This is not the way to go. And gradually, you recover your destiny. Too many people are not praying. That's why things are happening to them. Things are not supposed to happen to us. We are supposed to make things happen. Because before you were born, he knew you. And he has already ordained you to be a prophet. That means the program of your destiny was written before your conception. Your job is through the voice of God by priesthood to follow what was spoken before you. For you, before the foundation of the world. Dominion is actually apprehension of the voice of God. And this is possible by prayer. Sometimes you may be wrong. Sometimes you may be innocent. But this thing doesn't matter whether you are right or wrong. It's a program. Paul was preaching the gospel, affecting nations. And suddenly, the demons orchestrated a setup. And they picked Paul. And the only way Paul could save himself, he was in a tight corner. And he said, I appeal to Pharaoh, to Herod. And Paul had to be taken to Rome. All of that was a program. While they were traveling to Rome, when they came to the belly of the sea, that was when Poseidon came alive, the god of the sea. He wanted them to drown and be buried in the belly of the sea. If the man is buried in the belly of the sea, what happens to the book of Colossians? What happens to the book of Ephesians? He has projected into the future. This man is not just healing the sick. He's leaving a legacy for the body of Christ. Let's drown him here. 14 days, they have nothing to eat. When he saw that hunger won't kill them, he came again and wanted to shatter the ship. And Paul, by the Spirit, he said, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, he said, stood by me last night. And he said to me, there will be no loss. What kind of invincible operation is that? Because he heard from another realm. Fear not! He said, there shall be no loss. And he stood up and he said, sirs, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss. Suddenly, he became a captain. He became a ruler because of the access to the voice of God. Too many people are stranded. And because they can't hear God, they are blind. Do you know the quagmire of a blind man? Everything becomes noise. As he's walking on the road, even the car that should carry him, the noise wants to kill him. So he lives in fear, he lives in uncertainty, because he can't give definition to anything. When you don't pray and you don't have access to the voice of God, matters of destiny will kill you. Because you will make the mistakes you shouldn't make. You will make the decisions you shouldn't make. You will take the turns you have no business turning. And if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. So prayer reprograms you. It delivers you from demonic programming, and it sets you on course for destiny. And the reason is because the voice of God becomes a possession to you. The second thing prayer does is that prayer re-engineers you. While programmings are external,
Re-engineering is internal. And I will show you why. I mentioned already, the reason some people can't go anywhere is because their pride destroyed them. The reason some people can't go anywhere is because their anger destroyed them. They keep asking God for breakthrough. They keep fighting for every connection. The moment that connection comes, they sabotage it. Because of things that are wrong in their soul. When a man begins to pray, first, he receives direction because of the voice of God. Secondly, he receives re-engineering because of the presence of God. Prayer does not only produce the voice of God. Prayer also generates the presence of God. And what the presence of God comes to do is to reprogram and to re-engineer you. In Psalm 91 verse 1, it said, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, it said, they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you come under the presence of God, there is something it does to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. As we behold the image of the Lord, he said, we are what? We are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. Some people are praying. They think prayer, it's all about prayer point. It's not prayer point necessarily. Sometimes while you are praying, you are stirring something in the heavens. Because you know that your mouth have put you in trouble for too long, but you can't shut it up. You know that this anger have put you in trouble for too long, but you can't seem to help yourself. You know this pride have destroyed your life. It's about to wreck you, but you can't help yourself. And so what you do is that you go to the engine room of prayer and you are stirring it. You are stirring it. You are stirring it. You are stirring it. You are not even praying for anything because you have become afraid of praying for things. The last time God gave you money, you bought a convertible car and you were moving only on 220 speed, and the accident you had almost took your life. So you know now that foolishness dwells in your bosom. So you go to God, you are not even praying money yet. You are wondering, why is it that every time money comes to your hand, you become foolish? You labored and got that job. The moment they paid you, the first 5 million that entered your hand, you called your friend from Lagos. You say, no, make sure, book business class, I will pay. Don't fly economy. Make sure you're on business class. You call the other one, even the one in Dubai. You say, there's nothing in Dubai. Come, let me show you pleasure. And you pay for business class. When you invited three of your friends, you now went to house party for 3 days. When they finished the house party, you say, the person who organized this party, he didn't know what I had in mind. I'm angry. How can he organize this party like this? Don't worry. Let's go. You now fly them to Seychelles. You want a party on the beach where there's blue water, there's white water, there's green water. And then you pay. They bring musical instrument and they put it on the beach. You now lie down on towel. You say, God has helped us. God has helped us. It's when you go to check your account and what is remaining is 150,000. Suddenly, you will come to yourself. Did you read about the prodigal son? When he collected his father's money, squandered it on riotous living. It was in the pig pen that the Bible said he came to himself. Why will you come to yourself when you have destroyed yourself? Because there is so much evil that is in the soul of man. And so when we come to pray, one of the things we want to generate is the presence of God. Because when the presence of God comes, it comes with a lot of articles. One of the things that come with the presence of God is the light of his countenance. That light is like a sensor, a radiation. It will go through you and it will show you who you are versus who you ought to be. That was what happened to Isaiah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And the moment he saw the Lord, the light ran through him. And he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I thought I was a prophet, but now I have been brought before the celestial and I have seen the standards of heaven. I'm a man of unclean lips. If I continue like this, I may deceive men with words of knowledge, but my destiny will be a waste. If you don't come before the presence, you can never be re-engineered. Because what causes you to change from glory to glory is that presence. And the presence of God is not cheap. Sometimes Moses will be there after he climbed Sinai for 6 days before it will come. It will come because there is majesty around the presence of God. When it shows up, there are times when you come under the presence of God and it's like fire. And that fire will sit on you. He will sit on you for hours. What is happening to you is that he's purging you. God just wants you to have an understanding of what is going on. Because he has checked your life. He saw that there is lust. But the problem is that the lust is hidden under your soul. So you can't see it. It's only money that will reveal it. And if he doesn't deal with that lust, the day money comes, you will abandon your calling and relocate to Dubai. And for the first 1 year, you say, no, I've not seen the kind of house I'm looking for. I will stay in an apartment. And you'll be paying $1,600 every day. After 3 months, you will discover the money, there's a hole, a sink. When you check and there's no money again, you will now wake up and say, what am I doing in Dubai? How did I come here? A scale has fallen when the money is gone. All of those things were there, you won't know. I read about a man. He was a deputy governor for 8 years. When he finished serving, he went back. Hunger wanted to kill him. He had to contest for a position of counselor. This is not fiction. A deputy governor for 8 years had to contest for what? For a position of counselor. You know why? Those days they will go to Dubai. And when they go to Dubai, it's only skyscraper they book. Their hotel room will be above the cloud. So when they come out in the evening, they will see the cloud under them. Some of the rooms are in the cloud. So they will feel heavenly. They will walk. The room is glass. And then they will line up ladies. They will show Italian ladies, Brazilian ladies, French ladies, African ladies. And then they will look at them and pick. They will use toothpick to pick. to pick ladies. When they finish picking ladies, like toothpick, after 1 week, they will come back. When he finished serving for 8 years, he almost died. A deputy governor became a counselor to have food to eat. Because foolishness dwells in such bosom. The only way you can help such people is to expose them to the presence. When they come to the presence of God, sometimes the fire that burns in those coals, the angels will use it to touch them. When it touches them, that's the only fire that will travel into their lust and purge them. There are some of them that they will not even know. When you want to talk to them, they will say, get up. Do you know the word more than me? I'm well traveled. I'm well traveled. It's not traveling that gives you wisdom. But the light of God's presence, when they appear before that radiation, it will show them their folly. And when it shows them their folly, they can't deny it. Because in that realm, you are naked. If you don't pray to a point where the presence begins to sit on your head, you will have crisis in destiny. Because you will self-destruct. If the devil cannot destroy you with programs, what he will do is that he will now put the weapon in your hand to kill yourself. That's the undoing of the gathering maniac. The Bible said he had stones. And he used those stones to injure himself day and night. So there is nothing happening around him. He's the one killing himself. The man was so strong. Put him in chains to help him. He will break it. And the moment he breaks it, he will pick a stone and begin to hit his knee. When he breaks the kneecap, he will lie down in pain for 1 year. He will now carry the stone and begin to tear his chest, tear himself. So he was killing himself. That's what's happening to many people. Their anger have torn their liver. Their anger have butchered their kidney. Their anger have destroyed their families. Their lust have destroyed their business. But they don't know. They are looking for demons to bind. The demons are not around. They have programmed you. They have re-engineered you. And they have given you a weapon to self-destruct. It's only in the presence of God that weapon will fall. Because when Jesus showed up, the demons came alive and said, why have you come to us before your time? And they began to beg him. He said, please, don't cast us to the abyss. Send us into the swine. And when Jesus delivered the man, they got clothes and put on him. Now, this man that was using his energy to kill himself had the evangelical potential of winning 10 cities. Not for a lifetime, before the next time Jesus visited. That means the power with which he should have affected 10 cities was what the devil used for him to destroy himself. Many times, the people you see with a lot of aggression, they are mighty intercessors. But when they don't come to God's presence, that energy will be used for something else. And then you are wondering, why are they unstoppable? Many times, the people you see with a lot of lust, they are heavy prophets. But that energy is wired into their emotions. It will take the presence of God to channel it into the anointing. But because they don't spend time with God's presence, they channel that energy pursuing other things. And a point comes where their destiny goes beyond recovery. In the place of prayer, what God does is that he brings his presence over your life. And when the presence is over your life, what happens to you is that continually and progressively transformation is taking place. And a day comes, you wake up and you discover you know what you should do. You didn't read a book, you just know. A day comes, you wake up, you discover favor has come on your life. People see you, they want to help you. Why? You don't know. Because that presence, when it is transforming you, is also leading you to the fullness of joy. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 verse 11. So as God is transforming you, he's also taking you on a journey. So in the presence, a point comes where you discover a man comes out, he's so wise. People are so confused. They are wondering, what will we shall we do? And he looks at them and says, why don't you know what to do? Do this, do this, do this. He thinks it's a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. It's an economy that you have tapped into because you have dwelt in the presence. There are certain people that they have so much favor. Anything they start doing, men are just thronging to support them. And they are wondering, what is happening? That is the aroma they came out from the presence with. So beyond answering your prayer, there is something the presence does for you. I told you the story of Bishop yesterday or last week. They opened a boutique. And the next day, he showed up and said, Claude, you are not here for wardrobe. This is not a wardrobe. Go. And as he left, the next day somebody came and bought everything in the boutique. It's not because he's Bishop Oedeko. As he has stayed in the presence for long, there's a measure of authority that have rested on him. So anything he says, God animates it. There are certain people, they tarry in the presence of God until the glory sits on them. That was the testimony of Moses. The Bible says when he came out, he wished not that his face was shining. The glory had rested on him. And when the glory rests on a man, he begins to function like a god. Anything you touch, prosper. If you speak over something, it works. And then people are wondering, why are you succeeding? Men begin to reverence you. Those who don't know what is happening to you, they will come and say, it's manipulation, it's witchcraft. It's not witchcraft. It's what has rubbed off on them. This is what many people go to do with demons and deities. They want to start selling clothes. And they go before a spirit. And they stay in a coffin for 3 days. And something rests on them. They start selling that clothes. Everybody is looking for them. And you are wondering, it's not about the clothes. It's about the presence that is manipulating the operation there. And it's not only in the demonic that these things happen. They also happen with God's children. But many times, we don't take advantage of the things that are meant for us. People run to God's presence, they run out. And they are running to every other person, asking them for favor. Don't you know where favor dwells? He said, him that lack favor should ask of him that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. There is a place where favor dwells. Don't you know there is a place where wisdom dwells? Don't you know there is a place where the glory dwells? It's called the secret place of God. When you tarry there for long, favor will become a byproduct. Glory will become a byproduct. Wisdom will become a byproduct. Your people themselves will know that you are not normal. This is what happened to Daniel in Babylon. The Bible said the queen, which was not an Israelite person, a hidden queen, stood up and said, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. They could tell that this is not normal. There is something at work on the life of this man. He said, light and understanding is in him. Excellent wisdom. He said, the ability to explain hard sentences. That means when you are confused, go to Daniel. There is something at work in his life that will make him create the change. Why do you think many believers are stranded in life? They have not taken the things that are present in the presence. There's a wisdom you will tap into. Even on your job, they will know you are the answer. And so when things go wrong, they look for you and say, what should we do? You may not be the boss, but they can't do without you. When things are not working, they come to you. What shall we do? And then you tell them, do like this, do like this, do like this. And it will always work. A point will come when you literally become indispensable. This is the call for dominion. There are so many resources of the spirit that is available to us, but we are not accessing. And one man is praying and he accesses it, and 1,000 people are coming for impartation. They literally want to drain everything from him. He comes for the meeting, he ministers, he prophesies, he does impartation. As he's going, 200 people are still trying to touch him. You want to drain him? He's not the river. There is something in the spirit for every one of us. Instead of you scrambling to touch the man, to carry his button and go and put in your house, why not you also go to where he goes to? Why not journey to where he journeys to and touch the things that he touches? Because it's not an exclusive thing to him. It's for every one of us. There's a glory awaiting you. There's a wisdom awaiting you. There is a favor awaiting you. This is why you need to activate your altar. The people imparting you that you have made it a culture, some of them are 50 years older than you. Some of them are 60 years older than you. What if they die tomorrow and you no longer have the people to impart you? What will you do? This is why every one of us need to journey. Because one other thing prayer does is that it brings the presence. And when the presence of God is on a man's life, that man is literally a god to his generation. Christianity is not a religion. It's a divine strategy for expressing divinity through humanity. Every one of us here that calls ourselves Christians, the least we should manifest to our world is God. That's our destiny. But there are spiritual dynamics for making it happen. Prayer is not just about answers. It's a mystery in the spirit. It's a mystery. And one of the things that mystery makes available to you is the voice of God. Another mystery makes available to you is the presence of God. Believers need to know these things. And if they know it, they stay there. Today, things happen to people and things just happen to them at will. And then you find people running up and down, stranded, not knowing what to do. It ought not to be so. In a foreign land, Daniel was superior to everybody because he carried the presence. That presence made him to become superior to the nation where he dwells. Things shouldn't happen to you on your job. Things shouldn't happen to you in your school. Carry something that makes even your lecturers to be afraid of you. Today you find many gullible Christians, either girls or boys, being manhandled by lecturers just because they don't carry something. When you carry that glory, you'll be amazed. Today people go just because they are bidding for contracts. They get them to do unspeakable things just because they are looking for that contract. If you carry the presence, the person giving that contract would have recognized it. And you wouldn't go there to beg. You wouldn't have been put under terrible conditions to make you compromise to get what you should have commanded. It is the lack of the presence that makes us become victims to our world. What does prayer do in order to confer dominion? Prayer brings us the presence of God. When you are walking under the cloud of the presence, you become invincible. This was what Israel carried that made them constantly and continually dominate nations. Only Joshua fought 44 battles and won all. Because when the Shekinah is coming, the nations are terrified. God said, I have put your dread on the nations. So they are literally paralyzed before Israel come. So even if Israel were using stones, they will win you. If they are singing, they will win you. If they just run through you, they will win you. What kind of power is that? It's the presence that confers it. And that's why when God said, my presence will not go with you, Moses said, we will not move from here. We know that the secret of our victory is not wisdom. The secret of our victory is not our expertise in the art of war. The secret of our victory is what we carry. If that thing is gone, we become weak and vulnerable before the nations. If you don't come with us, we will not depart from here. How come you have walked all your life without the presence? That's why it looks as if you are a victim. It looks as if the things you profess are a lie. It ought not to be so. When you begin to culture the art of prayer, you discover that gradually the presence of God begins to grow in you. It begins to grow in you. The first thing you notice is that you become more conscious of God. It brings you into a realm of higher sensitivity. And then you just start knowing things. And then the second thing it does for you is that it brings you audacity of faith. The things that causes men to fear, causes men to tremble. When those things happen, you just make a statement and you, did I say that? You begin to command. You will be shocked that you said certain things. And because you said it, God will confirm it. And after a while, men will know that you are not ordinary. This is the destiny and the faith of every believer. If you don't carry this level of authority, wisdom and favor, how can you fulfill your destiny? How can you affect a generation? How can you affect a nation? How can you affect nations? Do you know the complexities involved in affecting a nation, let alone many nations? Meanwhile, all of you seated here, your destiny is to affect not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but many nations. This is why you cannot come out as an ordinary person. There is something you've got to carry that when you speak, it goes viral. When you start selling something, it goes viral. When things are failing, you touch it, it begins to work. And men, we know. How many of you heard the story of Elon Musk? Twitter was failing. They said their returns was below standard. They were contemplating on what to do. The man came, he didn't negotiate. I give you $44 billion. I'm not adding anything. I'm not taking anything. The people couldn't sleep anymore. They came and met him to sell it. If the guy talks about a crypto coin, it becomes viral. So sometimes the way he has fun is to talk about things. They told me a story last year. He bought a dog. And because he called the dog Shiba, a coin called Shiba suddenly skyrocketed. He wasn't even talking about coin. He just called his dog Shiba. The moment he said Shiba, people went and started researching. What is Shiba? What is Shiba? Immediately, in 24 hours, hundreds of thousands of people began to buy a coin. Just because somebody didn't even mention it, but he called the name. It went viral. You think they are ordinary people? There is something they carry. When they come into a room, they take over that room. When you are gathered and they show up, they dominate everybody. And you are wondering, what kind of people are these? When they talk, people become scared because of the presence they carry. Every believer ought to carry a measure of that presence. When you walk into a room, you cannot not be noticed. When you speak, it cannot just be ordinary words. Everything you do will catch the attention of men because there is a presence you carry. That presence you carry is what amplifies you. That's what puts an impression in the heart of men. That this guy is not ordinary. Tell somebody, I refuse to be ordinary. I refuse to be ordinary. I'm sharing this thing so that when you go to pray, you know what to focus on. Before now, when I teach on prayer, I ascend so high that when I'm talking, people can't see, but they are not learning anything. Somebody came and told, I think it was Pastor Victor, how can he speak in tongues like Apostle Mike? What has my kind of tongue got to do? Is that the focus? And then if you are speaking in tongues and you are walking like this, every other young person begins to speak in tongues and walk like that. When you are speaking in tongues and you are doing like this, they begin to speak in tongues and do like, and they are not commanding results because they don't know what to focus on. That thing that person is doing is the posture he has attained in the spirit. You press until you find yours. And when you find yours, it will not be about the posture.
it will be the fact that the presence have come. As I'm talking now, if I want to switch into the healing atmosphere, it won't take me 5 minutes. I know what to touch, and we will switch the service to healing. If I want to switch it to impartation, I know what to touch. I've interacted with these things. That's how the Christian life ought to be. You are going out for your job. You go to the altar. You have known the presence of God. You know what to do to enter favor. And when you enter favor, even in that corridor of favor, they will tell you what to wear. They will tell you how to walk into the meeting, when to walk into the meeting, what to say. And as you enter, you just arrest everybody. And they are wondering, is it charm? Is it superior to charm? It's the atmosphere of God's glory. When you pray, search for God's voice. When you pray, be sensitive to God's presence. Those are the things that Zion is seeking to bet. It's not a posture. It's not a kind of tongue. Because you can pray a particular kind of tongue and be defeated in life. You can assume a particular kind of posture and be defeated in life. But it is impossible to access God's voice and be defeated. It's impossible to carry God's presence and be defeated. When we pray, these are the things we seek. The voice of God reprograms our destiny for glory. The presence of God re-engineers us to become like God and to affect our world like God would. The third thing prayer does for you is that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. We don't just pray because we want to pray. When you see us praying, it's because we want to change something in the natural. Spiritual man changes things in the natural by praying. Many people have unconsciously made prayer a religious exercise. So, when they are done praying, they are not even expecting anything. Even when you pray for them, they expect nothing. Somebody comes to you and say, I am having pain in my tummy. And then you say, okay, let's pray. And then you finish praying, you say, thank you, he's going. Wait. Has the pain gone? That's why we prayed. We didn't pray because it's a ceremony. There's a challenge, that's why we prayed. And if the pain is not gone, we will pray again. Because the reason we are praying is to create a change. But if you don't know this, you will think your praying is pleasing God. And when you are done praying, you will go back and suffer your quagmire. And you will think it's humility. God knows that I'm loving him and I will bear this. If it's not for the kingdom, it's suffering. God didn't call you to go through pains and sorrows. You were called to live the victorious life. So anything that is not consistent with the will of God, when you go to your room, you are not going to your room to carry out another exercise. You are going to your room to change it. And so when you are done praying, you check. I quoted for you already from 1 Kings 18. When Elijah was praying, his focus was the sky. Because he wanted to change the drought so that rain will come. In our generation today, people will just go to the mountain and pray. And when they come back, they say, we prayed for 7 hours. Yes, we have prayed. We have prayed. As the change taking place. Those who know how to dominate by prayer, when they are praying, they are looking out for the change. They don't glorify themselves in the prayer. They glorify in the results that the prayer has produced. And you will never have results except as you change your consciousness from prayer to the results. If you don't pay attention to the result, you will pray and pray a religious prayer. That's why the Bible said they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Jesus said, when you pray, say unto this mountain. Don't pray without expectation. Don't pray without focus. Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away, and doubt not in your heart. He said, if you don't, you will have whatsoever you say. So the goal of the prayer is to have. And so while you are praying, your focus is on the change you want to create. It said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's dynamic in its working. That means when you want to begin to dominate by prayer, what you need to do is begin to set goals. Tell yourself, this week I'm praying for this thing. And then you sit on that thing.
you pray until the end of the week. As you are praying, you are checking. As you are praying, you are checking. If it works, you add it to your trophies. And next week, you pick something else. You say, I'm praying for this thing. If you begin to do it like that, you start growing by prayer. The people who taught us to pray, they didn't teach us posture. They taught us how to create change. Those days when they say pray, they will tell you, pick three people and pray for them in this month. And by the time this month is over, they should have been converted. So we write their names, we put it on paper, we kneel on it. Shaka, 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 shaka. In fact, one of the great evangelists those days taught us, he said, it's better to pray for them at night when they are sleeping. He said, that way you access their soul. Ah, is that so? My God, we'll write their names. We kneel down. Iboa, 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 Nathaniel, you're coming to the kingdom. Nathaniel, you're coming to the kingdom. Yakakakaka. When we pray like that, we are checking. We are checking. The day the guy walks into the kingdom, we'll sit and cross our leg. That is my trophy. That's how we prayed. They tell you somebody has a growth on his eyes. Wow! Who is the person? I tell you, this is my person. We are even arguing over people. No, that one with pain on the eye, that's my person. Don't pray about that case. Oh. I want to know when it happens, if it's my prayer that made it happen. And then we frown at ourselves. Make sure, don't pray for that soul. Because we used to call people souls. Don't pray for that soul. That's my soul. That's my soul. Because when the change happened and the person is testifying, those of us who were cell leaders will look at ourselves. You know who made it happen. And so we were growing like that. This man sitting here came from Kano. When he came to me, his phone was stuck with Eminem. He was just rapping. He was rapping. He was rapping. He was rapping. I mean, then he was showing me how fast the speed of the rap. He had entered a new civilization. I said, okay. When I was done from prayer, I said, let's go and buy something by the roadside. As we were going, my tongue had been energized. I started talking to him. As I was talking. After a while, he fell on the road and started crying. Before we went to buy something and come back, he had changed. And I left him in the ministry. 3 years ago, he was the global number two cell leader of the whole ministry worldwide. He had grown to that rank. I'm talking about Christ Embassy. He shook hands with Pastor Chris. Me, I couldn't even do that. But it was prayer that engendered it. Don't just throw your box, your punch to the wind. When you pray, let it be effectual. Let it be focused. Let it be definite. I know most of you say you are prayer warriors. But if I ask you, what have you been praying from January till now? You don't know anyone. So how can you tell if you are growing? All you have are capital letter tongues. They are beautiful, but what are they producing? You can't point a soul that has come to the kingdom because you prayed. You can't point a miracle that happened because you prayed. You can't point a change that happened because you prayed. What are you doing? The time has come for the prayer cell to apportion responsibilities. You have built capacity to pray for 7 hours. So pray for this. By the end of this month, bring them into the kingdom. You have built capacity to pray for 3 hours. So pray for this, pray for this, pray for that. And as you are praying, things are happening. As you are praying, things are happening. Where I came from, where I was raised from, there are those we know if they pray, money comes. It's not go come. If they pray, they have revelation for money. They have scripture for money. They know how to mobilize the angels of money. So when we want to pray for a program, we look anywhere they are. They must be in the fellowship that day. You can pay for their transport to come. They may not have transport, but if they come, if they carry the microphone, the figure they will call first, your heart will quiver. You are trusting God for 50,000. They now come and say, Lord, in the next 5 days, we receive 400,000. You, wait, no. No, it's not 400,000. It's 50,000. Hilabone Marka. Bakapakwa. 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 When they finish that prayer, you will be shocked. Somebody will call you from another country and say, I heard you are doing something. I sent 200,000. What is going on? They called the money. They have conquered it. If it's about money, they can change it. And there are other people that somebody is sick, call them. There's a friend we had. His name is Evangelist Philip. As well, Victor knows him. Don't tell him somebody is demonized or sick.
if he comes there. Somebody was bedridden for 8 months. She was supposed to go for service and she was bedridden. All her joints were locked. If you touch her, it's like they were inserting 1,000 needles in her body. And when we came, the guy said, let's pray. There is an energy he used to have. We command this thing. Go! And when it's done, the diplomatic thing to do is to say, check, how do you feel? He will hold the person and drag him up. Walk. Wait. Are you sure something has happened? He said, walk, come on, move now. Are you Jacko? A point came when they told us somebody is sick. We said, okay, where's Evangelist Philip? Those days he used to be in the village in Obi. He's an Igede man. You will call him. He will show up. He's very light. He said, a man of God, how far? You say, what is happening? He said, yesterday, 4 deaf ears open. I mean, those are normal things. No, normal thing. Man of God, how are you doing this thing? He said, well, what are you talking about? This is who we are. This is who we are. How come you are the only we in this equation? 1 a.m. in the morning, a child was giving up. The mother now ran and dropped him on the door. And the child died. When they woke up, they came out in the morning. There was a dead baby. My goodness. You will now begin to think, what do we do? Quickly, you come. They start praying around. Shabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabakabak
When he prayed, he hit the child in the stomach. Yeah. He said, go and give the mother. This, he will now say, I don't know why these people are disturbing me all the time. Ah, I want that kind of disturbance. If the child will wake up. Because me, if I'm being disturbed, I will put camera. I love those kinds of disturbance. Normal. Why? Because he had built his muscles. Prayer muscle is not just time. Is to conquer circumstances. And so when you are growing in prayer and you want to learn to exercise dominion, begin to consciously pray for things. As you are praying, you are checking. As you are praying, when it happens, stick it. When it happens, stick it. A point will come, you will notice something. That the time for getting the results start becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. Something that took you 10 hours will begin to take you 6 hours. It will now begin to take you 4 hours. It will begin to take you 2 hours. A day will come, you won't need to pray anymore. You will now begin to give commands. Because you have built capacity. The 10 hours have now been converged into 5 seconds. So the things you used to pray for 10 hours, they tell you this is wrong. You say, in the name of Jesus, let it happen now. I was told somebody was being operated in intensive care unit and the person died in surgery. And they sent a message to this apostle and said, sorry, we are in theater now. This person just died. Is there anything you can do? Because the way we saw the family members outside, if we break this news, we won't bury one person. He was so busy. He now typed on his phone, in the name of Jesus, come back to life. And sent, he said they should put the phone on the child's chest. They put the phone, he sent the message. The moment the phone vibrated, the person came back to life. It's not, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come back. No, that is important, but that's a level. As you are testing it, as you are trying it, as you are carrying many weights, it's like weightlifting. A point comes, the muscle begin to grow. And a point comes, even the stomach that is soft become like rock. And when you touch those muscle builders, you think their body is iron. They built it over time. You began with headache. You leave headache. You enter stomach ulcer. You left stomach ulcer. You entered cancer. You left cancer. You entered the dead. A point came, you started shrinking time. It no longer took 10 hours. It takes 5 minutes. They said, this is going wrong in the name of Jesus. You're in the name of Jesus at that level. It's equivalent to 10 hours tongues of another man. But the thing is that you have journeyed from 10 hours to 5 seconds. So if you say in the name of Jesus 3 times, that is 30 hours tongue. But you came there because you built it. Have you not seen men like E.E. Adeboye? They don't need a long message. If they say this is Holy Ghost service, Lagos Ibadan Expressway is choked. Because the people know, except the man don't say, "Hey, daddy, bless you." Don't let him say it. If he says that thing, 1 million people can be transformed immediately. Because for the last 40 years, every time he's in redemption camp, he's walking with his dog and speaking in tongues. He's speaking in tongues. Those 40 years, 30 years of tongues and intercession have made one of his declarations to be equivalent to 10 hours of 50 intercessors praying. So what 50 intercessors can achieve in 10 hours, he can achieve it by command. But it took many years of long and consistent praying, handling things. He exercises muscles. If you don't put things in front of you while you pray, your muscles will not grow. It's just like going to the gym and doing like this. Somebody else is carrying iron. You are doing like this. You are not carrying anything. The things you carry in prayer, they are the weights. The first time I prayed for a boy that had cancer, I couldn't sleep. The body was intense. I wept the morning. And this boy died. But my muscles had carried something. And I continued praying for people like that. One day I was in Mubi. And I said, in the name of Jesus, a lady ran out. He said she had cancer of the breast for 5 years. I was in Yola. I said, in the name of Jesus, a lady came the second day. She had colon cancer. The cancer was gone. What is happening here? Those many days, many weeks, many months of carrying little things, headache, typhoid fever, malaria fever, it was building the muscles. It was building the muscle. And the point come, the moment God is dead in your spirit, you become a change agent. Everything you say begins to happen. This is how you grow by prayer. Don't just pray and say, "I've prayed for 5 hours." That's good. It trains your spirit. But next time when you are praying for 5 hours, look for a weight and put on that prayer. Let your prayer too begin to gym. Let it carry weight. As you are carrying those weights and you are getting answers, your spiritual muscles are growing. Your spiritual muscles don't grow just because you prayed for long. Your spiritual muscles grow because you task it with responsibilities. Sometimes you will do it in the dark for a long time. God will now tell you, do it in public. You will now come out. I went for a meeting. I sensed the anointing of God. So strong, people were being slain. I jumped down from the altar. Somebody was in a wheelchair. I said, in the name of Jesus. I felt like Benihim. In the name of Jesus. I walked up to the guy and held him. Get up. When I pulled him up, he fell again. Ah, my faith diffused. I jacked him up. He fell again. And I told the whole church, stretch your hand. I was trying to escape. I was trying to escape. Because you have to, sometimes you escape and try again. But I kept pushing. I kept pushing. A day came. I did the same thing. I had a result. Because if you don't put those weights on your prayer will not have muscle. You will end up with the title of a prayer warrior, but you will not be a change agent. Men who create change by prayer, their prayers bear weight. Every week, look for something and pray about it. You can be walking, you see somebody with a kiosk. You don't have any business with the person. Because you know that this person is God-fearing. For 1 month, jack that kiosk up in prayer. You enter your room, 1 hour. You begin to pray for that kiosk. Pray for that kiosk. You are helping the person, but you are helping yourself. After 1 month, the person's kiosk will double. The person will go to his church and give thanks. He will think that, my God, I'm being smart. He didn't know that you are doing IT with the shock. In Colossians 4:12, you see, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Some of you need to go and write out the names of every lady in your family that is not yet married, that is above 23, and begin to jack them up in prayer. Jack them up in prayer. As they are getting married, you are ticking it. After 2 years, 4 of them has gotten married. That means average of 1 in 6 months. A day will come when you come and you decree, get married. Whether they like it or not, they will marry. That's how you grow by prayer. Some of you will need to begin to carry national problems on your shoulder. You hear that there's a problem in this state. You say, no, let me handle this one. And then you begin to intercede for that particular matter for the state. You are interceding. After a while, when that thing changes, your office have grown to a state level. The first time I tried it, I was in Benue. Everywhere you go, it looks as if in the night there are buffets of harlots. I say, what is the meaning of this? I say, okay, I will stop harlotry in Benue. I thought they were doing it because they didn't have money, or they felt like it. When I started praying, I was on a 21 days fast. I was doing it once every month. In the sixth month, when I was fasting and praying on the 21st day, that was when I saw a naked person came out of the wall. Is prostitution not something people do because they are immoral? So there's a prince responsible. That was when my rank increased. I began to contend with principalities. Even though I couldn't fight that being at that level, I had to call on God to help me. And Jesus saved me. But something happened. It became natural for me to pick the frequency of princes. If I come into a territory, I can tell you what is happening there. And I know the ones I can change by talking. But it took intercession for something that was affecting a state to come into that level of rank. How do you think you come into a city and not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not 10, not 20, not 50 people gather to hear you? It's because in the spirit, there's a level of influence you have attained. But the way you grow to that level is by prayer. Somebody will leave this meeting today and you go and write a list. Not a list of the car you want to buy. Because some people are thinking of school fees and car. That's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. We are talking intercession. Because we are about to change things territorially. Some of you are seeing the marriage next door. They are fighting every day. And you tell yourself, before this month is over, there must be peace in that home. And every 12 o'clock, when you are done praying, after 2 weeks, the next day you wake up in the morning, you see them hold their hands, they are going shopping. They don't know what happened, you made it happen. And as you are building like that, your authority level is growing. Your authority level is growing. You know why this happens? Because every time you pray, you stir the anointing within. That anointing is what rises and becomes a staff in your hand. The first thing prayer does is that it opens you to the voice of God. The second thing is that it brings the presence over you. The third thing is that it stirs the anointing in your spirit until it becomes a rod of authority. And the day will come when you will stir that anointing until that anointing will come out of your spirit and become a rod. That's where some of these men have gone to. And when they speak, their words never fall to the ground. Samuel, the Bible said in Samuel 7:12, it said the Philistines were tormenting Israel until Samuel came and planted a stone and called it Ebenezer. And when that priesthood was completed, it said from that day, the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistines. They never came against Israel again and succeeded. Because Samuel, through priesthood, had built a hedge around Israel. A point came, that anointing grew until the anointing surrounded the whole of Naioth in Ramah. Saul came looking for Samuel. He fell down and began to prophesy. And a point came, that anointing was no longer just a circumference over Ramah. It became a scepter. And when they said they needed a king, Samuel showed up. And said, to show you that I'm speaking for God. He said, this is dry season. He said, now rain will begin to fall. He didn't pray again. But the moment he said it, rain began to fall. Because the anointing grew from a stirring. It became an atmosphere. It became a scepter. You will pray until that oil in your spirit will become a rod that you carry. And when you do this long enough, if you finish your assignment on earth and you want to go, you will hand over that rod to somebody as a mantle. Because at this time, you decide how you use it. It's no longer an anointing you stare. It's no longer an atmosphere. It has become a mantle. This is how mantles are created. Mantles are created from the altar of priesthood. A man walks on the oil. The oil becomes an atmosphere. Then it becomes a mantle. When he wants to go, he will say, if you see me when I'm lifted, you have it. If you see me, this is not something you do anymore. I have it. I can give it to you. And like joke, when the mantle fell, he caught it. He stood by the Jordan. He said, where is the God of Elijah? He hit it on the water. The water parted. The same thing that took Elijah years of crystallizing, he had given it as a token. You will not leave this world until the anointing in your spirit grows to be an atmosphere and grows until it becomes a mantle. Some of you, when you are leaving this world, that mantle will be so strong, you will hand it over to your children. That's why he said concerning a righteous man, He said he leaves inheritances for his children. He's not cattle. He's not goats. Jacob said, the angel of the Lord appeared to me. And after I engaged that angel, I became a prince. And so he said, now, I named the name of Israel upon Ephraim and Manasseh. They became Israel. When he wanted to go, he said, gather around me, you sons of Jacob. I will tell you the things that will befall you. He said, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. A point will come, you will do business on the altar until you can hand over the mantle to your son and say, you will be a millionaire. You will be a prophet. You will be a king. No force on earth can stop it. Because you have built something that has defeated the princes in the territory. Somebody will live here. And the prayer enterprise of your altar will graduate to a point where you will cause national changes. Christians don't know this thing, so we are gullible. Everybody is looking for somebody to help him. People go and line up at the governor's office that he will give them 50,000. Just reducing the quality of their lives for nothing. Go to the altar and make things happen. When you make things happen there, you can sit in your room and tell the governor what to do. This is what kingdom is about. Elijah was in Israel. Naaman was in Syria. But Naaman looked for him. He said, whatever you say in your bedroom, this man hears it. A king left another nation to look for a prophet in another nation. What kind of authority is that? Thank God for impartation. Thank God for graces that are transferred. But the best things that you can do for yourself are the things you generate on the altar. Because it does not only change things, it makes you become a change agent. Finally, what prayer does for you is that it causes you to migrate into realms and into dimensions. When you start praying, the first thing that happens to you is that you are stirred. After you are stirred, if you continue praying, you begin to travel. Because the way we travel in the spirit is by prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he said, him that prays in an unknown tongue, he said, he does not speak unto men, but he speaks the language of angels. He said, in the natural, he's not making sense. How be it in the spirit, he is talking mysteries. That means when you start praying, something happens to you. The first thing that happens to you is that you migrate from the domain of men. You come into the company of angels. That's why he said, the prayer we pray, he says, is the language of angels. That means there is a time and there is a place you pray to that you quit talking among men. You begin to talk among angels. And when you come into the company of angels, it is the things the angels experience that you experience. It's the authorities the angels wield that you wield. It's the things that can happen to those angels that can happen to you. This is why prayer makes men invincible. I told you here the other day, I said we are not ordinary men. We are God men. There's a lot of mystery associated to us. When we start praying, what we do is that we travel from the domain of men. The first place we come to is the domain of angels. That's why you see certain men, they carry so much authority, so much honor, and you are wondering, are people worshipping them? They are not ordinary men. They have ceased to live among men. They have begun to live among the angelic. So when men see them, the things that would have happened to those men if they encountered angels will begin to happen to them when they encounter those men. You will see some men, even though they told you not to kneel down before men, when you see them in the public, you won't know when you will lie down. You will go back and say, but why did I lie down? That is what you would have done if you met an angel. Because prayer unlocks the angelic realm. Did you not read in Acts chapter 12? He said, as prayers was made of the church for Peter, he said, an angel of the Lord descended and smote Peter and told him, get up. And Peter stood up. Peter was walking with him. The soldiers fell down as dead men. He said, they came to the gate. He said, the gate opened on their own accord. He came to the gate that led to the city. The gate opened. At that point, Peter was functioning like an angel. The soldiers were not seeing the angel. They saw Peter, they fainted. Because the prayer had mobilized Peter to an angelic order. Did you read Acts 16 verse 25? He said, as Paul was praying at midnight, he said, the angel of the Lord descended. He said, the foundation of the prison was shaken and the chains fell off, the doors opened. When the warder came in, he wanted to kill himself. Paul said, no, don't. He saw Paul, he fell down and worshipped him. Why? The prayer had moved Paul to the angelic realm. Paul at that point began to function like an angel. Why? He said, are they not ministering spirits? Sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. There's a place you pray to, you literally begin to operate like an angel. You are not an ordinary man. Make no mistakes about it. God dwells in you. And when you continue like that, a point comes when you leave the realm of angels, you come to the realm of God. He said, we know not what to pray for as we ought to. He said, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. At that point, you become so one with God that God begins to pray on your inside. So when you come out, men will see a God. Men will look at you and literally want to worship you. People who don't know what has happened in the secret place will look at you and say, all these pastors are brainwashing people. Brainwash what? Do you know what it means to brainwash people? The people sitting here, some of them are 20, 30 years older than me. How can I brainwash them? Some people sitting here are trained doctors, trained lawyers, trained engineers. Some people sitting here have worked for the past 20 years. They've met all kinds of people. What do you mean brainwash? When you grow in prayer, you grow into the angelic order. And there's a realm where you grow into the divine order. Naturally, people will begin to honor you as they would honor God. And it's not about a preacher. It's about every believer. Did you not read about Daniel? The Bible said the king knelt down and worshipped him. Do you know who Daniel was? Daniel was the slave of the king. But through priesthood, Daniel became a god in Babylon. The king knelt down for his slave and worshipped him. What happened to the guy? He had become a god man. You are not disadvantaged. The problem is that you have not started praying. If you start praying, you will discover that you will not only have access to the voice of God, you will not only carry the presence of God, you will not only travel in the spirit, but you begin to walk in your word like a God. Because the God that is hiding on your inside will begin to manifest through you. And when men see you, it is the dimension of that God they will see. Somebody will live here tonight and begin to function in the order of dominion that prayer brings. You have no business struggling. I told them here 2 weeks ago, I said, when you do what men do and it doesn't work, leave men alone. Switch into the God realm and begin to do what God does. Because as you pray, a point comes, the God life starts being stirred. Even Jesus knew the technology. Hope you know, Jesus became a man. So when Jesus struggled with men and it doesn't work, he goes back to the mountain. And the Bible said, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. The same Jesus they were arguing with, when he's coming down from the mountain, everybody comes to him and say, Master, what has happened? He had clothed himself with the God dimension. The disciples thought it was about oil. He gave them oil at first. They went out and cast demons. When they came back the second time to cast out another demon, the demon started slapping them. And they are wondering, is it not we who cast demons yesterday? Well, you cast out demons yesterday with oil. Today you need another glory. And when Jesus came down, the same demonized person saw him and fell down. And he said, leave him. Let him go. The only way to function as a God is to ensure that by prayer, you are constantly traveling in the spirit. Most of us have only traveled to Kenya. We have only traveled to Ghana. We have traveled to Guinea. And when we come back, we say, I've gone around the world. I was in Benin Republic last week. Thank God for your journeys. But I would rather travel to heaven than to go to the United States. I would rather go to the realm where God dwells than to go to where men dwells. And come back and feel a false sense of importance. What is the big deal traveling to London? What is the big deal traveling to Ghana? What is the big deal traveling to Kenya? Are they not men dwelling there? What makes it important is because I went there on a kingdom assignment. But for me to feel important that I traveled to the US so something has added to me is a sign that I'm falling. Because every day, I either encounter angels or I encounter the God of heaven. And when I come down, I can be in Africa here. People from the US will follow me. Because it's not about where you go in the natural. It's about where you go in the spirit. And many people here, by prayer, they will begin to travel. And as they travel in the spirit, your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Strangers will stand to build your walls. Because you are not disadvantaged. You are the help that the world is looking for. This is what prayer does for you. And when you begin to pray with this kind of consciousness, you naturally begin to exercise dominion. Is it important to pray? Yes. Is it important to pray loud? Yes. Is it important to pray long? Yes. But more importantly, make sure you find the voice of God when you pray. Make sure you carry the presence of God when you pray. Make sure you are transformed when you pray. And make sure you travel in the spirit when you pray. This is where your advantage is. When these things happen to you, you will dominate your world. People who were with you a month ago will come to you and say, "Sir, what happened? God happened to me. I prayed." Because if you begin to pray, it doesn't matter the status you had before. God can change it. Because prayer can make you literally become like a God. Bow your heads and pray. Ask the Lord for the grace for prayer. Many Christians are talking. Many Christians are struggling. Very few are praying. You can't deceive people. See, with prayer, you can't deceive people. Because your results will show whether you are praying or not. The things you change or the transformation you enjoy, they are all testimonies whether you are praying or not. You can't deceive men. The Pharisees tried it, but they were hypocrites and they had no result. When men pray, they create change. Ask the Lord for the grace to pray. He said they looked unto him and they were radiant, and their faces were radiant, and they were not ashamed. Ask God for the genuine grace of prayer. If we must change, the prayer must be added to our menu. If we must change our world, prayer must be added. It's not about leading people to pray in a fellowship. What is your prayer life? There are men that have prayed until the voice of God dwells with them. There are men that have prayed, the presence of God travels with them. There are men that have prayed, even while they are yet walking on earth, they are in the spirit. Ask him for the grace of prayer. I know you are a businessman. I know you are a singer. I know you are a preacher. I know you are a politician. But do you pray? If you don't pray, you will be swallowed up. You are in the midst of battle. Hey, yeah. Destinies, but these destinies are just lying, waiting for you to come alive. There is a wisdom you need for that destiny. There's an authority you need for that destiny. There's a favor you need for that destiny.
The destiny is waiting for you to wake up in the spirit. One more time. Ask God for the spirit of supplication. The spirit, the grace for intercession. Ask him for it tonight. There will be a baptism of prayer. Of prayer. Imagine, hear this. The leader of the church was arrested. There was no record that they went to ask for any human connection to release him. Today, if EFCC invites a general overseer, people start making calls, they start protesting, all kinds of human manipulation. In the early church, Peter was arrested. They didn't ask any magistrate. They didn't beg anybody. They didn't do any human connection. The Bible said they locked themselves behind closed doors. And it said prayer was made for Peter. Here where their support structure came from. It came from the angelic realm. Instead of asking men, they traveled to the angelic realm. And they mobilized an angel without the permission of the magistrate. Without the permission of the governor. The angel landed. The prison opened. The chain fell off. The doors opened. Peter walked out as a free man. That's a church that knows prayer. We have become manipulative because we have neglected prayer. Ask God tonight if it's one thing he will give you. He should give you the baptism of prayer. Stamina on the altar. Stamina. Ask for stamina. Marovela Cabana Toliata Sagata Tawaro Frank de Fanalo Shabarakoa. When you tell people to pray, they take it for granted until they enter a pit, until they enter problems. That's when they start learning to pray. Somebody is about to be enthroned because there's a scepter for prayer that needs to fall on you to shake off the demons, to open the doors, and to move forward by the Spirit. Ask him for grace tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, when I read the scriptures, sometimes I just laugh at what we are doing. The king sent for all the wise men and said, I have dreamt. If you don't tell me the dream, I will kill all of you. And nobody went to beg the king. Daniel said, give us time. Give us time. Nothing is impossible. If I can pray, nothing. Give us time. And the Bible said Daniel and his friends went to prayer. How can you imagine? Have you heard before that somebody could know the dream of a man? But they know with prayer, there's nothing that is impossible. And when they prayed, the Bible said, then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. You are an architect, and you don't know prayer can give you house plans that have never been seen. Who told you it's a religious thing? Daniel showed up and said, "Oh, here, king, this was the dream that you had." My God. My God. There is nothing that will overcome you from today. By prayer, you will become more than a conqueror. Name of Jesus. The Bible said five kings ganged up against Israel and they would have torn them apart. The guys knew that their military might could not match up. All they did, they took a 3 days fast and they prayed. How can you pray to go and fight five kings? Are you crazy? Because they knew there was nothing impossible with prayer. And when they were done praying, the Bible said, God said to take a song and go to war. What do you mean? People are coming against you with chariots. How will you be singing there? Is that not suicide? By the time they got to the camp, the people had destroyed themselves. In Judges chapter 5 verse 20, when Sisera rose up against Israel, the Bible said Deborah raised an army of prayer and he said the stars were fighting the enemy from heaven. Angels were throwing stones at the enemy. A mortar could mobilize angelic support. And then we now will reduce prayer to posture and to the type of tongues. In this month, hear me, a grace will come upon you and it will cause your altar to come alive. The things you are seeking apostles and prophets for, from today, you will make them happen on your altar. The things that molested you, as you step out of this place tonight, you are going to wage war from the altar. And every declaration you make from there is answered speedily. In this month of May, somebody will be enthroned. Somebody will be exalted. Every lack in your life is swallowed up by prayer. There are some of you have sought connections that is necessary for your emancipation for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years. As you go to pray in this month of May, your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Strangers will stand to build your walls. Men have given you names. They've called you failure. They've called you a weakling. But hear me, as this grace rests upon you for prayer, everything they called you, they will repent in your lifetime. None of you will be feeble. None of you will be weak. None of you will be defeated. The wisdom you need as you pray, receive it now. The favor you need as you pray, receive it now. The authority you need, receive it now. In the name of Jesus. A new thing begins in your life from this month. A new thing begins in your life from this month. Some of you will start businesses. Some of you will receive employment. Some of you will receive favor beyond your qualification. In the name of Jesus. Listen. God didn't send us to keep imparting people. He sent us to equip men. Because he wants everybody to become a witness. Not to become a church member. Everybody should do what the man of God is doing. Weak hands have been exalted. Feeble knees are being strengthened. Graces are resting. In the name of Jesus. Go forward. Prosper. Be great. Become the head. Everywhere you fell before, go back and correct the record. In the name of Jesus. And every force that have fought you successfully before now, whether in the dream or in the natural, as you return from tonight, you will begin to experience your victory. You will begin to experience your victory. In the name of Jesus. The month of May is for you. You will testify. For many of you, it's a month of new beginning. For many of you, it will be a month of consolidation. Many projects that have been pending, finish it in this month. Many projects you are yet to start, start them in this month. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you will start profitable relationships this month. Profitable relationships. Thank you, Father. Helper, you will not be small. You will not be small. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.